Did you miss IT Nation Connect in Orlando? Our live stream on YouTube, captured here for those who prefer the audio version on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Well, good evening and welcome to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech, our Business of Tech Lounge, so to speak. I'm Dave Sobel. I'm your host for the evening. Appreciate you joining us for this broadcast, our impromptu studio. Hurricane Nicole has just blown through, so if you see any stutters in the video feed, you know why. It's because of that. We're in our impromptu studio. Really do appreciate the attention. Tonight's a jam-packed show. We're going to try and get a bunch in about 45 minutes, so we really appreciate you diving in on this. Let me walk you through the stuff we're going to cover. First, I'm actually going to give you some highlights from the Wednesday night launch keynote. Likewise, dove into a bunch of their thinking about the marketplace. And as listeners to the show know, I love good data about that kind of positioning and strategy. From there, we're going to actually go into a little bit of their Pitch It program. That actually happened on Wednesday as a bit of a pre-event. It's exciting ideas about the way they might invest in new products, and we'll give you some highlights and insights from that. Additionally, I'm going to give you some color of the conference, show you around a little bit so that the size and scale and how it's all laid out, what kind of content is coming here. I'm going to go ahead and then you'll hear from our sponsor this evening, Linode. We really do appreciate them sponsoring this evening. I'm also going to do a teaser for you. I'm going to actually talk about Rob Ray, who's been cited here at the conference. And I know many of you are speculating on what he might do. I've got some insights for you there that we're going to talk about. Additionally, I want to give you a sense of the breakout content. We dove into Boss or Babysitter by Peter Melby. You may remember he's been a guest on the show before when he sold out to private equity and has grown his business from there. So we are actually going to follow up there and give you some of the insights that he gave from that breakout session. Finally, I'm going to give you some insights from the innovation keynote, which happened just 2 hours ago. I'll give you some of the highlights of what they announced and my analysis. During the course of the show, if you're watching us live, you can go ahead and put in a question during the broadcast. We will be taking a Q&A section at the end of the show, so please feel free to do that. If you are watching this on the recording, still go ahead and put something in the comment section. I do respond to all of that. Now, I'd be an improper YouTuber if I didn't say, please like and subscribe. Those likes do help us be able to do this kind of content for you. So that gives you a sense of what we're looking at for this evening. So let's kick things off. Last night, ConnectWise's executive team presented their vision of the industry. They gave us a bunch of different directions and technical knowledge about where they think we're going, and I wanted to capture some of those highlights for you. So we put together a highlight reel, let you actually get some of those words themselves. I'll be back afterward to give you some highlights. So let's dive right in.
Many of these businesses, in fact, 66% of them, are citing that they expect to continue to grow into 2023, regardless of what comes. These, along with mid-market companies, as what they're your prospects and your customers, they all need your managed services. They need you to help them. And the IT Nation community here is strong. Over 235,000 business management users, 11 million endpoints deployed with an RMM, and 1.6 million endpoints being protected by some of ConnectWise cybersecurity solutions. Currently, there are over 10 million job vacancies in US alone, about 4 million in EMEA, UK, and about 2 million in ANZ, APAC regions. This was expected to grow to 85 million vacant roles globally by 2030. And that was a pre-pandemic study. Think automation, mastering automation, take it to a whole new level. The concept of putting the data to work for you, make it a reality. Customer experience, make sure you focus on that. It's important. It's a game changer. And then you take all of that and you thread and you weave cybersecurity through it all, because it's going to take everything we do to make sure that we remain protected and we protect our customers.
By 2025, 39 billion devices will be added to networks to collect, analyze, and share data. Web hosting services will reach $80 billion.
Billion.
And the global AI market is expected to reach $90 billion. And even more staggering to me, 4.4 million internet users. This change is something we all need to be prepared for. By 2025, 39 billion devices will be added to networks to collect, analyze, and share data. Web hosting services will reach $80
billion. Billion.
And the global AI market is expected to reach $90 billion. And even more staggering to me, 4.4 billion internet users. This change is something we all need to be prepared for. These external threat actors that are literally trying to disrupt and wreak havoc on society and the global economy. They make the perfect environment for, you ready for it? A total loss of control. The very backbone of your business, providing your customers with peace of mind, accountability, and impeccable oversight, are at risk of crashing down.
So the next path forward for so many of you is going to be get more automation out of what you already have. But we all must embrace this next wave. It goes beyond automating tasks to reach scale and solve for labor challenges. It's about collecting information from this next wave of technology, leveraging artificial intelligence and machine learning in order to provide useful insights so that you can make decisions faster.
Some of the key tenets of implementing an effective zero trust environment are just enough access for your end users and just in time access for your technicians. In fact, I'm happy to announce that our newest product, ConnectWise Access Management. So make sure you go by the booth in the Solution Pavilion to see how ConnectWise Access Management helps reduce that blast radius and really brings in that trust environment into better control.
Today, we're pleased to announce that we've assembled a special operations unit called ConnectWise Labs. We're doing this to anticipate what's coming and build solutions that help TSPs solve problems that they aren't even facing. This rapid innovation group will incubate and test and, dare I say, build new wild innovation in stealth mode behind the backdrop of our 1-2 year innovation roadmaps you're going to see tomorrow. And as a fact, ConnectWise Access Management that Patrick was talking about came from this group.
ConnectWise and Arrow share a common interest in helping those in the TSP space thrive.
We have identified some critical functionality needed to help you optimize efficiencies throughout your organizations.
So as a ConnectWise partner, you now have access to a near seamless PSA experience that includes automated pricing, procurement, provisioning, billing, reconciliation, and tracking when purchasing through Arrow. This will eliminate several manual, time-consuming tasks while giving you access to more products, more vendors, more efficiencies, and all in the ConnectWise platform.
So that's their keynote. Let's break down a little bit of the thinking there and what I was highlighting in my why do we care style. First, that data that it talked about from the market really gives you a sense of the way they're looking at the total addressable market for their products. But I thought it was also notable to say that's probably the same data that they're using from an investment perspective, because of course we know they are private equity invested at this point, and they are a private equity platform as they grow to acquire additional businesses. I want to say that for the conference, the IT Nation, their version of community, is quite the theme, talking about that involvement. I want to highlight Jason McGee, the CEO, did highlight the job vacancies and the talent problem that we're seeing in ConnectWise. For those that caught my coverage earlier in this week at Acronis, that was in fact the same message that was coming from those executives. So it's interesting to hear the parallels between the two shows, particularly as they were related to one another. Now, I want to highlight the four big messages that they said were the areas to address. The first, of course, is automation, which is very much a theme for a product that has automation tools. But more importantly, then using data, customer experience, and wrapping it all in cybersecurity. It's a four-post kind of approach to thinking about the market, and that's the way that they're presenting themselves out there. They kept throwing out AI and machine learning. I will push back and sort of say, okay, I get it. That's very much a strategy. They need to see more of that in the actual delivery of the products, to see actual evidence of AI and ML in order to talk about that. In fact, we actually just had an expert on artificial intelligence on the show. Catch that bonus episode if you're interested in diving into more of the thinking and perspective around AI, because I think it's something that we want to be, as consumers of these products, much more critical of asking, what does that mean? What does having artificial intelligence and machine learning embedded in a product actually mean? And show me how that works. Because saying it sounds really good, but actually delivering it can mean lots of different things. So I wanted to push back a little bit of that. I also wanted to push back or point out that phrase, total loss of control. They're talking about a marketplace where you do, in fact, lose the ability to manage all of the products. Now, what's interesting is this is coming from a company that traditionally has pushed manage all the things as a style of approach to the market. So we have to observe that now we're recognizing that there is a total loss of control. I didn't include it in the highlights, but one of the themes is this idea of the infinite edge, meaning that you cannot necessarily consume or track every single device that might exist out at the edge. They call it the infinite edge. That, of course, implies total loss of control. So there's going to be a tension for providers and consumers of their products to examine where, on one hand, they are selling management tools, but at the same time, recognizing that actually achieving total management is impossible because you are reaching a state of total loss of control. So there's a tension there that's worth observing. And for those that are customers of the product set, you're going to want to think about how that works. Now, let me point out that they had an entire section around cybersecurity. They've highlighted Zero Trust. There was a product launch there in the ConnectWise Access Management. I am not going to do any kind of product analysis and technical bit, but I wanted to highlight that that was one of the pieces that came out there. Let's also highlight that ConnectWise Labs. Now, I'm going to observe as a student of industry on this, that if you are in the business of building products, you need to have an R&D group. That is actually one of the things required to be a software developer. So while, yes, I'll acknowledge that's a great thing to launch, that's also an expectation that you are doing research and development. And if you're going to be building your own product set, you're going to need to have a group dedicated to that. Now, to be fair, if you go journey the transformation of an organization from small founder-led company all the way out to potentially, you know, a larger investable company and maybe potentially all the way out to public company, that's something to think about so that they are on the road. But okay, R&D group, we'll thumbs up for that. But at the same time, there's an expectation you should have. Now, let's highlight that last little announcement. They actually did announce that partnership between themselves, ConnectWise, and Arrow Distribution. They're now putting those products within the ConnectWise managed toolkits and allowing you to get pricing data and real-time information. It's an interesting approach. I will be curious to see if they add more distributors along the line, if they add more to the line card. Arrow is a well-respected distributor, but I would not say in that top three, for example, not an Ingram, not a TD Synnex, they're not a D&H, they're not definitely that top tier. So I wanted to give you some of my initial thoughts on the keynote. Now, next up, I wanted to dive in and give you some insights into the Pitch It program. So let's go ahead and start. I'm going to roll some footage from that, and I'm going to give you some of the insights from that portion of the event. So Pitch It is their investment product. It's led by Sean Largo, who's a well-known community advocate. It's a community-driven effort. There were 13 contenders in a pool who competed in a two-part live-streamed pitch competition earlier this year. Alert Ops, Vohani Security, and Humanize IT were selected as the Pitch It competition finalists. In addition to showcasing their solutions on stage, the three finalists received free booze in the IT Nation Connect Expo Hall, plus, interestingly, one-on-one coaching from three former Pitch It champions, Gene Reich of 2021 Grand Prize winner Traceless.io, Callan Sapien of 2018 Grand Prize honoree Refractor, which was acquired by security vendor Sophos last year, and Jamison West of TimeZest, who was 2019's top finisher. The program was created in 2018. Pitch It is a competition and incubator designed for innovators to showcase a potential offering that could be built or integrated into the ConnectWise platform. With a digital cloud transformation process unfolding, Pitch It illustrates the intention of the group. AlertOps was declared the winner of the Pitch It Accelerator program, which earned the organization $70,000 to support their innovation aspirations. They showed off the alert management and response orchestration tool, which earned them first place. Now, I want to do again my why do we care? want to highlight, I think this is an interesting approach to investing in new companies and doing that as a marketing investment, that you're actually investing in those groups and at the same time using that as a marketing effort. It's a savvy move for a company that is a platform investment, that if ConnectWise is going to be buying up new companies, what better way to get access to them by bringing them through a program like this and then additionally bringing that out to the community as a community benefit. So you should know that this has multiple motivations likely behind it. It's a great community move. They are investing in growing their own ecosystems, but at the same time, they're also motivated to buy other companies to roll up into their portfolio. And the more they can get access to that information, that's called due diligence during the acquisition process. These companies would be motivated to get closer to ConnectWise to get one of those prize bits, and they get inside information on the way that they might actually build those products out. It's kind of a clever way of getting access to it. So let's be aware of what that program is. Now, for those of you that weren't able to attend ConnectWise IT Nation or perhaps haven't been to one before, let's go ahead and give you a little sense of the facility and some of the kinds of larger picture of what's going on here at the show.
Hi, welcome to IT Nation. How can I help?
So ConnectWise is saying about 4,700 attendees. It's laid out across the rows. Shingle Creek facility. It's a really large conference facility with a very large general session room. Then they've got a large session area for Solution Provider Expo where you can go ahead and meet with the vendors. They've got a large section of multiple tracks and breakouts so that you can wander over there and get different bits. And we're going to dive into one of those specifically. Of course, networking is part of it. People always talk about the value of the hallway conversations. They've set up lounge areas around there that you can get an opportunity to talk with other people. You can sit down and talk with the other vendors. You can find side conference rooms at a glance. You get the ability to interact with one another. It's all laid out so that you can do a bunch of different networking. So let's go ahead. That's been one of the big focuses is doing that connection. Interestingly, when you look at the agenda, it's broken out not just by education areas, but by interest levels. There's areas for people that are interested in M&A, areas for people that want to do focus groups that are focused on the products. And IT Nation in general has a tradition of the items of flair you wear on your badge that allow you to sort of indicate what you are interested in doing, working on. So it's an interesting way of facilitating the network, and they've been very focused on doing that with those pieces of flair so that you can get engagement. Again, they're talking about 4,000, I think it's about 4,000 people here. It's going to continue for another day. We're broadcasting on Thursday night. It goes all the way through tomorrow evening. There'll be another day of interaction and conversation. And that's the general gist of it. As they mentioned in the keynote, it's broken out into various kinds of providers. You've got different levels of both the owners, but also some service managers, some of the sales teams and such. There's a large, about 140 vendors here, discussing and having action on the floor. They've definitely invested in making sure to go that out. And most of the breakouts that we've attended have been pretty well attended. In fact, you get a good sense that they really are well attended and have been invested. ConnectWise went ahead and did actually, you pitched to be a member of these different speaking slots. So they actually took calls for speakers, went out and solicited from the community and did that across the world. The keynote last night was full up. And so we got a really good sense of what was going on here at the conference. So I've been generally impressed with all the organization. And one thing all people always ask is, are the snacks pretty good? Yes, they've done a pretty good job with the snacks. So we've really appreciated the opportunity to talk to you tonight. I've got a bunch of things coming up afterward this. So I want to make sure that we know what we're talking about next. We're going to be diving in a little bit on some of the gossip that's happened from the show, so you'll get some sense of that. I'm going to dive into some more of the breakouts, and I'm also going to give you some highlights from the innovation keynote that happened this afternoon. Now, though you have some questions, if you're watching this live, go ahead and put those live questions into the chat. I will be taking them now. And at the end of the evening as well, we'll have a Q&A session, so you'll be able to go ahead and get interaction. If you are watching this later, please put those questions in the comment section below. I will go ahead and answer them at a later date. This is, of course, an ongoing thing, and those likes and subscribes are always ongoing. I appreciate your time with that. Now, let's go ahead and dive in a little bit. I'm actually going to spend a moment here, and I'm going to give you an address of one of the gossip areas that have been talked about. I'm going to move on and talk to you a little bit about the buzz about Rob Ray. Now, Rob, as you may have known, was the head of channel and community at Datto for a number of years. He's, in fact, been in that business for 9 years now. He recently moved on and was listed on his LinkedIn. A number of the channel media were quite excited to talk about that. In fact, with headlines like shocking news that Rob Ray has moved on. Now, I want to give you a little bit of my own bias here and tell you that I consider Rob a friend. We were cults when we worked together at Level Platforms. I was there for about 18 months, almost 2 years, right before the transaction to sell that to AG. But Rob was there for about 7 years. In fact, at one point, I was a customer of his when I was Level Platforms customers working with him. So I have a personal relationship with him that I want to give you a little bit of color around. I think it's important to know. So Rob went from Compaq. He was 7 years at Level Platforms, and he's been 9 years at Datto. But what also is important about that is let's talk about the liquidity events that have happened during his time at Datto. Of course, there was the purchase by private equity the first time. Then, additionally, the IPO, when the company went public, and then the third time when the company went private. That's three career liquidity events during one time. That's a lot, actually, and it's notable to highlight that there were three of those. Most executives generally do one or two as a general rule. I think the other color that everyone is missing on this is to know the personal situation. I've said many times on the show how important it is to analyze people outside of the work environment to get some insight into their investment. Now, Rob and I have not talked about this, and I'm just giving you some perspective. But I happen to know he has two daughters that are reaching a point where they're moving on to college, university, and they'll be moving on to that life. And he'll be looking at being an investor. These are kinds of times in your life where you make choices about what you want to do next. And generally, they're also associated with things like liquidity events. He went three of those. Anyone who is shocked that he's moved on has not been paying attention, because if you've had that many times, you actually are probably thinking about doing something different. Now, I've done any announcement. I don't have any insight on what he's doing, but I think it's important to note that he's gone through three liquidity events, and it was likely that he was somewhat disrupted after the second one. When Austin left the organization and moved on and has been doing other things, that's a notable line in that. Austin hired Rob into the organization, and they had a long-standing relationship to work together. It's unknown his relationship with the former CEO, Tim Weller. That's another thing to consider, but it's not the same as the original person that hired you. And I think that's important to note, that he's gone through those transitions. So he's now considering looking at his third boss in this situation. It's kind of reasonable to expect he may be ready for something new. Now, I'm going to be a bold one, and I'm going to make a prediction tonight of what I think he might do. Again, I have not talked to him about what his next step is. This is me thinking. I think exercise is important for us to understand. If you're Rob Ray, if you've been involved in the channel community for a long time, and you've seen the success he has, the reason channel partners are watching his next move is they trust him from a relationship perspective. They know they can rely on him, and he's going to do some due diligence, for sure, of the organization he works at. But Rob, while every channel company have him, is not a match for every channel company. There's a couple of criteria you need to know. Rob is a senior executive who comes with a senior executive price tag. That means any smaller company is likely unable to afford Rob, not just because of him individually, but because of the team he's going to want to build. He's going to want to build a team to support him and implement a plan around him. So he's going to be looking to command a budget that supports those efforts. So that's going to eliminate a great deal of companies that simply cannot do it. Additionally, he's entrepreneurial, and he's going to want some level of control, and he's going to want to be a senior executive at some level. So there are also companies that are not matched. He's likely not to show up at a very large established technology company, because that's not wired into what he's looking for. also not necessarily what he's looking for from a personal perspective. So my bold prediction, I think he's actually going to consider realigning with Austin Accord. Think this out. Austin has signaled to the channel that he has interest in returning. When the deal closed between Datto and Kaseya, there was tension over the way that it was done. And in fact, that employee unrest, Austin responded to. And as I've mentioned on the show, Austin was involved in the group that sold the business. They could have put whatever terms they wanted into the business as conditions of the sale. So for example, retaining certain kind of employees or ensuring certain kinds of culture. And they did not do that. But then he was very clear, sending a message to people that he might hire, that those things are important to him by criticizing the leadership at Kaseya. And by the way, from a channel perspective, all of the solution providers are quite happy to blame Kaseya. It's like, we'll admit, Kaseya is not particularly well-beloved. So it's an easy move for Austin to do, to signal to the channel, hey, I will hire you again, and I will treat you the way that I considered Datto's original ideas around. So I believe Rob will pair back up with Austin. That's my prediction. Let's see how that pans out. Love to hear from you. If you think I'm right or wrong, speak out in the comments. But now let's hear from our sponsor, Linode, what they might be able to offer you as a provider.
Hi, Business of Tech. It's James here from Linode. We're here at IT Nation in Orlando, and we're here talking to MSPs just like you about our service, which is Linux Cloud Hosting. So we offer things like virtual private servers, block and object storage, networking services aimed at MSPs. You might be wondering, why would you look at a company like Linode if you're perhaps using AWS, Azure, Google Cloud already? We're significantly less expensive. It's not all about the price, but it's a factor. Very, very easy to use. So nowhere near the same complexity. Nice, flat, transparent pricing. It's easy to understand, unlike some of the larger providers. And we have a fantastic MSP program as well. So very much channel friendly. We're here to support you with 24/7, 365 support aimed at MSPs. So you can pick up the phone and have a chat to us if you've got any issues. We'd love to chat to you. If you'd like to learn more, you can head over to linode.com/partners. Grab yourself some free cloud credit. There's a standard $100 offer. You can bump that up to $500. If you have a chat with us, we can extend it for you so you can have a tinker with some of our servers. And yeah, we look forward to hearing from you.
We really appreciate Linode sponsoring this kind of broadcast so that we'll bring you this kind of live content. Really appreciate their investment in the channel, and thank you for sponsoring us. So next up, we're going to actually dive into one of the breakouts. You've actually met Peter Melby before. He was a guest on the show when we talked about his sale to private equity. He's in fact previously been very outspoken about that, but sold to a private equity organization, is now involved in building out his MSP and growing it through acquisition and organically. He did a session called Boss or Babysitter and dove into some of his lessons as a leader. Let's go ahead and hear some highlights from that breakout session.
My story involves a lot of recognizing that I was wrong and changing my mind. I swore up and down I would never hire a salesperson. I run a team of salespeople now. I am on record. You can Google it about how damaging, you know, private equity and M&A is in our industry. 2 years ago, we joined a phenomenal experience with New Charter Technologies, private equity backed, investment portfolio. All of this is, you know, leads to the idea that we have to continue learning. People love, especially in tech-based companies, to glorify the college dropout, you know, visionary, really knew what you're doing, you know, and outsmarted the system. This wasn't that. I was a lazy college kid. I made a bad decision, you know, in haste. And as my first key learning in business was that sometimes we make good decisions. And sometimes we have to make our decisions good after the fact. And this was very much that. But people have been a constant, no matter how much our industry evolves, because we are a people industry. We're people who sell people's time to other people who have IT needs. And if you look at the stereotype of IT, it's not really known for its engagement with people. And so I saw that and I thought, you know what? I can do something different. I heard over and over people who would just say, there are actually two words that came up over and over, and they rattle around in my head a lot, and they probably do yours too, or at least some version of it. It's like, wish my people would just think. You know, it would be a lot simpler. Think, you know, and I didn't have to, you know, correct them every step of the way. And I looked at this and said, you know, you're really not looking at this. I'm going to build a culture that centers around trust, that centers around, you know, close connection. And I do connect with people well. I like people. I have, you know, I want to lean into that. And that was the business strategy for Greystone. The problem is the more you babysit people, the more you need to babysit them. The less you trust them, the less trustworthy they become. And that's a bad formula for scaling a business, because MSP owners, especially in the early days, are not known for getting a lot of sleep. And the more people that you have to pay attention to and track down, all those things, the less sleep you get, the harder it is, and the less your business is going to scale, and the more unhappy you are. Our breakthrough is not in looking at this and saying, I'm going to put people out in front of me. Also, Steve Jobs' reputation has nothing to do with how much he let people tell him what to do. Our breakthrough was very different than that. Our breakthrough came over time in a realization that nothing we were doing worked. And not trusting people and babysitting people was miserable. And it really comes down to this, that on a long enough timeline, every company culture succumbs to the laws of human nature. Foosball table, beer in the fridge, parties, happy hours, unlimited PTO. If the best thing about your company is that people can spend unlimited time away from your company, you got a problem. And don't get me wrong, at Greystone, we have these things. They're perks. They are not culture. Culture is how we engage and connect with each other. But we can't forget how all of our people are the same. And there are some key things about all people who want to succeed. They constantly want to improve. No one wants to be the same as they are today forever. They want to be accepted. They want to feel secure. They want to make more money. And people like to take risks, but they want to be safe. And what's interesting about this, all of these things are true of my company too. Processes are great. Processes are important. But perfect processes don't always account for imperfect situations. And people need to be able to just think in certain scenarios. And we need to figure out how to build it that way. The best employees are self-driven and autonomous. We all know that. But we don't trust most of our employees to be accountable to go where they need to be. And that's a disconnect. Autonomy is not letting people go where they want to go. It's actually the direction that we give them that unlocks autonomy for most of our people. That we need to trust our employees, but they lie a lot. Especially at work. And it's funny because we laugh because we know, but can you blame them? I mean, if you think about it, most of the employment process is based on lies. I mean, the resume, the job description, both sides of the interview table. There's not a lot of authenticity when the stakes are high and situations are new. And it just doesn't go where we want it to go naturally. I do believe that right now we have the most externally self-confident but internally self-conscious workforce that we've ever had. Whether that's generational, whether that's social media, whether that's just cultural shifts. The problem is when I see an employee who's positioning themselves up here and they're not at that level, I got to bring them down to reality. And I see that. And so I work to bring them down. But really they're down here. They're projecting up here. And so I'm just pushing them further and further down. And sometimes they're just projecting more and more and more. and it breaks. People, we want to know how they think about themselves. They need to know how we feel about them, about their performance, about where they are. Because if they don't know that, guess what? They make it up. And they often make it up in your voice, in their head.
Peter's insights were very well received. It was a great session. I admire him for going out and talking as much as he did about that. There was a lot to that. In fact, he went into his full 10-minute process of how they onboard and they implement that. That, of course, might be something we have to revisit at another time. Now, I wanted to, in my why do we care approach, why did I want to focus on that so much? We talked a lot on the show about culture and the way to be a leader and the hiring problems. And Peter has spent a lot of time thinking about the way he wants to deliberately grow his organization out. And I wanted to bring those particular insights out. That's why I spent a lot of time on that. Now, next up. We want to go ahead and give you a little insight into the keynote from this afternoon. Now, I'm going to actually go ahead and talk a little bit about it while we show you some of the highlights at the same time. Now, ConnectWise themselves made a couple of key announcements. I'll go ahead and quote right actually from the press release on that. They made a ConnectWise PSA integration with IT Boost as an overlay. They've announced a Microsoft integration with ConnectWise RMM. And they announced increased cybersecurity capabilities included in the latest portfolio, specifically ConnectWise Vulnerability Management, SASE, S-A-S-E, by ConnectWise, and Exium, and IAM, which is the Identity Access Management, by ConnectWise and Evo. All they position as bolstering their partners and the cybersecurity posture of those, offering the best possible protection. Now, why do we care? In fact, normally, I would have gone ahead and actually not necessarily covered this. This was a specific keynote, and they position it as the innovation keynote. Now, I spent a little bit of time, and I had to double check to get the definition of innovation. Innovation is to introduce something new, to make changes in something established. But in technology, we generally think about innovation as large shifts. Most of what they talked about today were features. In fact, in the room, the one item that the entire room to cheer was dark mode in the new products. One of the big things they talked about in their ConnectWise Manage product is a new ticket screen. Now, this is the natural course of evolution for software, but I'm not necessarily sure I'd call this innovation. In fact, I actually talked to several MSPs as we were walking back afterward, and I asked them, was there something in there that you were excited about? And one looked me straight in the eye and said, nothing. The other said, this is a lot of stuff that we talked about. And I wanted to highlight that many of the executives were talking in the future sense. They were talking about things that were coming, not necessarily things that they'd explicitly announced. And so I think I want to offer a little bit of insights in a why do we care on this. The lesson, actually, I think you should take away from this is you want to talk much more about specific benefits that are going on right now. I think it's important if you're going to position something as innovative, you want to actually be able to say that and use that a little sparingly. If you use a marketing term too often, it actually loses its actual value. A long list of feature innovations is actually just a long list of features. And it's better to go ahead and do that and position that well and show that iterative growth, but that necessarily isn't necessarily innovation. Additionally, it's not innovation when you're building something that's done by someone else. If we look at like Apple and Android, we know that they're exchanging new features back and forth. That's natural progression of technology. It's not necessarily something we would call innovation. And my counsel to solution providers is take that marketing thought into the way that you talk about something. You want to be realistic with your expectations and set them as such. If you overbill it, you run disappointing your own customers who get excited about that. If I was running the show, I'd be considering rolling that back together to a single keynote and actually go ahead and do that thematically, hit your themes, and then make opportunities for people to dive in further on the things they care about. specifically. Now, we've talked about a lot this evening, so I want to give you a bit of a recap of what we talked about. I gave you their thematic issue, what they put out from their keynote on Wednesday when we launched. We talked about their Pitch It program. We additionally gave you insight into the way that the show was done itself. I gave you some insights from our sponsor, Linode. We talked a little bit about the buzz at the show, particularly about Rob Ray and where he might go next. We gave some insights from Peter Medley and his breakout session and some of those announcement highlights from the innovation keynote. Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.